This weekend starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This weekend, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Catastrophes hit the most vulnerable. I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Here's what's coming up this hour. Hurricane and Tropical Storm Harvey has inflicted massive damage in large parts of Houston and southeast Texas. We'll explore the residents impacted the most. Speaking of storms, a woman who was the target of Hurricane Matthew memes last year has come forward to explain why she was traveling opposite the evacuation traffic. Plus, Kentucky wants to make it more difficult to become an honorary colonel, and the resurgence of tennis star Roger Federer, who's great and might be getting better with age.
Oh, it's been a phenomenal year. He just turned 36 years old this month, and to win two Grand Slam titles and three other titles is really hard to do at an age like that. And he's looked almost better and more aggressive than he used to be. And he won Wimbledon without losing a single set.
Wall Street Journal reporter Tom Perotta on a rejuvenated Roger Federer. He's here later in the hour. But like in the case of previous disasters like Katrina and Sandy, the heaviest cost of Harvey's destruction in southeast Texas is likely going to be borne by the most vulnerable communities in its path. More from Tanvi Misra, staff writer at citylab.com. Tanvi, what are you hearing?
When, you know, the news started coming in that Harvey's going to be, you know, just this disaster of a storm, unprecedented. I wanted to look at the kind of folks that we don't usually hear about in these kind of situations, the people who may not have the resources to leave, who may not be able to get the right kind of information in time, who may not be able to leave for other reasons, being either elderly or disabled. And I was trying to get a visual, you know, snapshot of what that looks like. So I reached out to ESRI, which is an organization that does a lot of GIS mapping. And they had someone, a relief organization, that had already done the grunt work for us. And so I used their maps, and I wrote about what I saw there, which was that a lot of the folks, a lot of the communities in Harvey's path are exactly the kind of communities that are most at risk from disasters like this. They're the ones, you know, like I mentioned, who are not able to leave, who are, you know, not able to get the resources, who are not able to call out for help, perhaps because they're of language differences. You can really clearly see that in the map that I've put into my piece.
Why is this? Why does it happen this way?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure I have, a great answer for that. I think often these kind of inequalities already exist in our cities, right? There are already people who are living in a day-to-day condition that is less than ideal. And those kind of inequalities, I think, when disasters like this happen, just get sort of blown out of proportion. You have, for example, the homeless of Houston, who many of whom may not have the resources or may not have had the information about what shelters to go to. They often, there's a lot of reporting that's already come out about this, but, you know, often many of them may have taken refuge in low-lying areas under highways where the storm did most of its damage. That's where all the flooding occurred, you know. So I think I would just reiterate that these are things that already exist in our society. These are inequalities that already exist, inequalities in experience. And they just, in storms like this, they just sort of get amplified.
We're speaking with Tanvi Misra, staff writer at citylab.com. Her piece is called A Catastrophe for Houston's Most Vulnerable People. You mentioned, too, that Texas is particularly vulnerable because it's although it's well acquainted with kind of the devastation of floods, it was ill-equipped to deal with a storm of this magnitude. Explain.
Yes, there's a lot of really great extensive reporting that I've cited in my piece by the Texas Tribune and ProPublica, which shows that Texas has like a trifecta of factors that make it especially vulnerable to floods like this, to storms like this. One being that it's in a belt that is more susceptible to climate change. Another being there's a lot of, over the years, there has been a lot of development in that area. And development over development over prairie lands that would have otherwise absorbed a lot of the rainwater. And, of course, you know, the population in that area has been growing. So all of these things put together make it particularly vulnerable to floods. However, at the same time, Texas as a whole has not invested in flood protection infrastructure, in flood insurance, and all of that makes it a place that is, you know, particularly ill-equipped to deal with a flood like the one Harvey has brought on. And this has been, you know, it's had Ike, it's had floods in the past that may have been warning signs, may have been wake-up calls, but they haven't.
It seems like at this point, in order to address that, that could be years down the road, right? It's almost like that region has to play catch-up now to fix kind of the current problems.
Exactly. I mean, and I assume that that's going to, you know, the kind of response and where that response is going to is, we'll have to see how that takes shape. But you're absolutely right in that this might take years to really, you know, get back on path. And I think it really signals a need to rethink how we think about risks like flood risks and storm risks.
Thanks, Tanvi. Tanvi Misra, staff writer at citylab.com. 12 minutes now after the hour on this weekend. BarkBox is a great way to try a variety of treats and toys for your dog from local and small businesses that you may not otherwise be able to find. Each monthly box is themed like Country Fair or Brooklyn Hipster and packed with new and unique toys that continue to keep dogs engaged, interested, and happy. Every month, BarkBox Paw Picks the best all-natural treats and innovative toys to match a dog's unique needs, including allergies and heavy chewer preferences. If your dog does not like something in the box, they'll even send you something they'll love for free. Because BarkBox is all about dog happiness. Free shipping on any BarkBox within the continental U.S. My dogs Lola and Daisy are going to love it when the treats and toys show up at the door. It'll keep them happy, and it's convenient for me. For a free extra month of BarkBox, visit BarkBox.com/Gordon when you subscribe to a 6- or 12-month plan. That's BarkBox.com/Gordon to get a free month when you subscribe to a 6- or 12-month plan. Make your dog happy. BarkBox.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The best place to start or grow your business is at michiganbusiness.org. Contact them today. When a CEO gets cancer, he doesn't just worry about himself and his family. He or she also worries about the business. How can the leader manage all this? Insight from Dr. Ivan Meisner, founder of BNI.com, who's in remission from a prostate cancer diagnosis. Ivan, what did you go through?
Yeah, you know, it's really challenging because you have a company to run. My company is international, and a lot of people look to me for leadership of the organization. And so it's definitely challenging. And listen, first of all, if anyone runs into something like this, it's a personal issue. One size does not fit all. You have to do what you're comfortable with. But for me, I run such a people-oriented organization that I was certain that word would get out there, and I wanted to manage the message. So I was pretty transparent in when I got the diagnosis.
And that meant exactly what when you meant transparent? Like, I know you wanted to control the message. Does that mean you went out and told everybody, or you were honest about answering a question if it came your way?
First of all, I don't think you can ever control the message, but you can you can manage it. And it's different because, you know, rumors fly around like crazy. And so if you tell the truth, the message will prevail. And you asked if I told everyone. Yes, I did. But first, I triaged a list of people I was going to tell.
Okay.
So I literally sat down and I wrote a list of who I was going to tell and when. So my children were first. They found out immediately that day. Within a week, I created a list, and within a week, I told my extended family. I then met with my PR team, and created a plan for making the announcement. I then told my closest friends, employees at my office, or those by phone. I then emailed all my franchisees, and then I made a public statement.
Wow.
And all of this start to finish took roughly 1 week, and I had a plan for introducing that.
Interesting. So going the other way, say, if you had tried to hide it, or if you felt it was just not a big deal and you were just going to handle it on your own, the consequences of that could have been what?
Well, listen, I think the consequences of that is that it would have got out. I mean, that kind of thing just doesn't, when you have to go away for, you know, weeks at a time to do, I went a holistic route, but I still had to do treatments. And so when you're gone for weeks at a time, and you know, people are going to ask, where are you? Why aren't you responding? But the responding to emails or phone calls, the beauty was that by being transparent, everyone knew.
Yeah.
And so I would tell people, look, I'm going to be away in treatments. Nobody gave me grief. It was, in a crazy sort of way, it was probably the easiest 6 months of my life for work.
Okay.
Because people gave me so much, such a big margin. They understood that I needed to take care of myself. And I am so glad that I was transparent. And I even told them where they could go to find my updates. I put them originally on my blog, mm-hmm. and then I kind of transitioned to Facebook, where I just kept people up to date.
Hmm. We're speaking with Dr. Ivan Meisner. He's the founder of BNI and BNI.com. He's written a book called Healing Begins in the Kitchen. We're talking about how a CEO deals with a cancer diagnosis, something he had several years ago. Did you find out quickly, I guess, whether you made good hires as managers?
Oh, yeah. Very quickly. And I didn't have to hire anyone new. I had a good team on there, and you know, I met with them and told them what I was going to be doing and how I was not going to be around as much. And you know, it's really interesting, Gordon. People, if you have a good team, people will rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
And I had a good team, and people definitely rose to the occasion, and they filled the gaps for me. It was remarkable, and that's where I think transparency is key. Because if you're not telling people, and I've been in situations like this, I've had franchisees of mine who have told me about their health problem, but they said don't tell the people who work for me,
no.
Or don't tell my members, and then I'm getting hate mail and I'm getting emails. For these, you know, people are upset with this guy because he's not around,
right?
And they don't know why.
Yeah.
And so, had I to do it all over again, I would do it exactly the way I did.
Nice. Thanks, Ivan. That is Dr. Ivan Meisner, founder of BNI.com. It's 21 minutes now after the hour on this weekend. Thanks for spending your first full weekend of September with us. Already one of the most successful players in tennis history, Roger Federer has reconstructed nearly everything about his game. The results have been remarkable. Here's this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka.
The final Grand Slam of the year is finally underway, and with a lot of big names out this time around due to some injuries, the field just might be opening up for a rejuvenated Roger Federer. Joining us to talk about Federer's reconstructed game, Tom Prado of the Wall Street Journal. Tom, talk about the year that Federer has had so far.
Oh, it's been a phenomenal year. He just turned 36 years old this month, and to win two Grand Slam titles and three other titles is really hard to do at an age like that. And he's looked almost better and more aggressive than he used to be. And he won Wimbledon without losing a single set, which is really amazing. How he's done this at this age is just, you know, there's some luck involved in terms of staying healthy, but he's worked really hard on improving his game, too.
So, Tom, Roger sat out for a good part of last year after knee surgery. How did that help him?
You know, you'd think it wouldn't help at all, but the time off actually did help. And he got to work on his backhand a lot and become more aggressive on it. He strengthened his body, strengthened his knee, eased pain in his back. And when he finally came back at the Australian Open this year, he just felt better and looser. And I think, you know, he missed playing a lot, too, and he loves tennis and loves playing tennis. Now that he's back there, I think he appreciates his time there even more than he used to, because he knows, you know, at 36 years old, there's not necessarily so much time left.
We're speaking with Tom Prado of the Wall Street Journal about Roger Federer and his rejuvenated game. How has he separated himself from some of the older other tennis players?
It's almost unanswerable because some of it just seems like a miracle. But he's in such physically good shape. He always has been. He has very fine technique, which puts a little bit less stress on his body than a lot of players. He has very good swing. All that sort of added up. He's also, I think, people look at Federer and they say, oh, he's such a beautiful player and he moves so smooth and it's all natural ability. He works really hard. Works really hard on keeping his legs in shape, on stretching a lot before he plays now. He told me he stretches a ton, which he never really used to have to do, but he does it now.
Emotionally, how is he different than some of the younger players?
He's got incredible confidence, which I think a lot of players do, but he's pretty loose about his shots and pretty casual and knows that he can hit the ball. He's good about not being too nervous. He was nervous in one match at Wimbledon, which he finds happens sometimes, but he knows how to hit his way through it. He's got years of experience doing it. But it is impressive to see how aggressive he can be in any match.
It's kind of funny that Federer is coached by Ivan Ljubicic, a player he used to play against. Are there other players who have people coaching them who are actually opponents at one time?
It happens. It's not too common. I mean, Andre Agassi did it for a little bit for Djokovic, who's not in the tournament right now. But it works out really well for him. I think Roger likes him, especially because he played against guys that Roger has played against, because he was around for a long time. He also has a wonderful backhand and has helped him, I think, a bit with that. And just his attitude, he's very good at studying. He's been coaching other players before, and I think all the information is just a little bit extra that helps.
And Tom, do you think other players may kind of follow along this recipe of Federer and even Serena Williams of taking time off and really focusing on the biggest tournaments?
It's a good question. I think some of them may and some of them may not. I think Federer is a rare breed that it actually works for him. So like for Rafael Nadal, for example, it worked for a bit at the Australian Open too, but usually Nadal wants to play a lot and wants to practice a lot. He sort of doesn't feel right unless he puts a lot of time in. Some people are just like that. Federer happens to be a player where it doesn't take him too much to feel right. Why that is, I don't know. It's just a talent that he has.
That's this weekend's Jennifer Koshenko with Wall Street Journal reporter Tom Perata. Federer is amazing. 36 years old. Still grinding. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. If you travel for business, stop wasting time pricing your flights and hotels at the same old sites. Visit Upside.com. It's quick and easy for Upside to show you the exact flights you're looking for and the big-name hotels you want. You can buy them separately or bundle them. See, the more you bundle, the more you save, the bigger the gift card you receive to places like Amazon.com. Every time you buy a business travel package using Upside, you'll get the VIP treatment while still paying low prices and being rewarded with gift cards every time you book a package. Oh, you'll keep your airline miles too. Upside's the real deal for buying your business trips. You got to give them a try. And right now, when you use the promo code DEAL, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon.com gift card on your package purchase. That's code DEAL to get a $100 gift card free. Upside.com, the better way to buy business travel. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. Upside.com and the code DEAL. Glad you could spend part of your weekend with us. Labor Day weekend, first weekend, full weekend of September. I'm Gordon Deal. Here's what's coming up this half hour. So your smartphone got wet. Here's what not to do first, especially if you're in Southeast Texas. Also, the making of a Kentucky colonel. And after Harvey hits, a woman realizes she's the person behind an infamous meme. We'll hear her story in about 20 minutes. It's time for a finance update, and it's brought to you by Lexington Hotels. We've got you covered with warm service and great rates at Lexington and Red Lion Hotels. Book your stay today and join Hello Rewards for free nights and perks. Most people with flood insurance buy policies backed by the federal government's National Flood Insurance Program. By one measure, as of April, less than one-sixth of homes in Houston's Harris County had federal coverage. That would leave more than a million homes unprotected in the county. For those who have it, here's what's ahead from Loy Vickers, CEO of Empire Public Adjusters. Loy, what should folks be doing?
You need to start putting together a list of what you actually had. And, it would be a little, crazy to think that you're going to be able to have receipts for all that stuff. You know, depending on how high the water was and if there was current coming through your house, you may or may not still have some of that stuff in the house if windows or doors were left open. So putting together a list of what you actually had is going to be beneficial whenever you get to the contents portion of the claim. Then from the standpoint of the house or structure itself, let's say you've got some wind damage to it. According to the terms of the policy, you're supposed to mitigate any further damage as soon as it's safe to do so. So if you've got missing shingles and that type of thing, you're going to need to get somebody up there to get tarps on the roof and that type of thing so that you're not fighting the insurance company with, well, you didn't mitigate this damage and we're not going to pay for this, that, or the other thing.
All right, so does it matter to the policyholder in this case when filing a claim which came first, the wind or the rain or the flooding? Is that relevant in all this?
It will be relevant. We call this the chicken and the egg syndrome because it typically happens in every single big storm that we have like this. Is the insurance company always asks which came first, the wind or the flood? And they're doing that strictly because a lot of these people, and you've probably seen this in the news, that a lot of people didn't have flood coverage. And so if it can be attributed to floods, they may not have to pay it. And so you need to get somebody who's experienced and well-versed in putting these claims together so that you can argue that point. And if you have coverage for it and it's legitimate, want to make sure that they understand it's legitimate coverage, that it's compensated for correctly.
Boy, what's a reasonable amount of time for some of these folks to pull stuff together and file claims, especially given the fact that it could be days, if not longer, before they're allowed back in their homes?
Right. Well, I want to say this, because in Texas we have some blue tarp legislation that's coming into play. And in reality, it really doesn't affect what we do as public insurance adjusters, but because we're advisors to the policyholder, it really needs to be expressed that any claims that are filed prior to Friday of this week, which is September 1, when this new legislation comes into effect, will be grandfathered in under the old laws. And like I said, it doesn't really affect what we do as public adjusters, but in the unlikely event a claim is not settled and it has to go to suit, it will affect the payout for interest and penalties and that type of thing that are added to some of these things. And so, you know, we have a responsibility to tell people that if they're not aware of it. And, you know, you can file a notice of claim right away. If you're unable to do that, you can contact our office and we can help you do that because we have access to all the emails and fax numbers. We're happy to do that for people. We're not charging you for that. It's just something that we're doing so that you, in the unlikely event you need it, it's covered.
Thanks, Loy. That is Loy Vickers, CEO of Empire Public Adjusters. It is 21 minutes now in front of the hour. On this weekend. Hey, reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow me directly on Twitter at Gordon Deal. Smartphones and water just don't mix, as thousands of people in Texas are learning to their distress during the flooding there. Experts say even though if a phone is drenched, there are steps you can take to recover it, but it takes patience and the ability to leave the phone alone. It's a story from tech reporter Elizabeth Weiss at USA Today. She's with us from San Francisco. Elizabeth, explain this.
So the thing that everybody wants to do immediately is turn on their phone to make sure it's still working. And it turns out that is actually the worst thing that you could possibly do. If your phone got drenched or dunked in water, unless you have a water-resistant or even waterproof phone, and there aren't many of those and they're expensive, it is very likely that water is seeping into the inside. And, of course, what happens when you apply an electrical charge to water? It goes everywhere, and then it fries the motherboard of your phone, and that's not good. When I talked to the experts, they said the thing you want to do is immediately turn it off. You're going to desperately want to turn it back on to see if it still works. Don't do that. Resist the urge. And if you at all can, there's a lot of places now that'll do a special kind of dry out where they actually put the phone under vacuum, and then once it's in full vacuum, they warm it up, and that allows the water to boil off at a safe temperature, a very low temperature, If you think about it, if you make a brownie mix way up in the mountains, you have to change the recipe because water boils at lower temperatures. The less pressure there is, that allows them to boil the water off without harming the phone.
We're speaking with USA Today tech reporter Elizabeth Weiss. Her piece is called "Your Smartphone Got Wet. Here's What Not to Do." First, we talk about turning it on or plugging it in. You do not do that. Wow. Who does that vacuum service? Can you walk in to say, I don't know, your Apple store and get that done?
You can't. Apple may job that out. There's a couple of places around. There's actually this one that's called Tech Dry. They're mostly on the East Coast and a couple on the West Coast, and unfortunately not many in Texas, which is where it's desperately needed,
yeah.
Even though people... And in fact, they're in the midst of driving a truck down to Texas with generators and a bunch of their boxes, and they're going to... They're just going to set up at a place where people are congregating and help them dry out their phones, which I think is a very nice thing, and they're going to do that for free. There's also a company called Drybox that is in Texas and a lot of other places in supermarkets and some Walmarts, and that's actually self-service. You just walk up, stick your phone in the drawer, close it, come back 30 minutes later, and it will have run it through this couple of cycles of putting it under vacuum, heating it up, taking it out again. And all of them say that it works, depends on how wet your phone got and how long it's been since it got wet. If you get it within the first 36 hours, it's about a 3 out of 4 chance they can save it. The longer it goes, the more likely it is that the water inside starts to corrode, and that does real damage to your phone. Though I talked to a guy in San Francisco who offers this service just here, and he said, you know, you never know. He had one guy who put his phone through the washing machine.
Whoa.
Stuck it, just figured it was dead as a doornail, stuck it on a shelf, bought a new phone, cracked that phone screen, went in to see him to get a new screen, and he said, yeah, you know, I've only had this phone a little bit because I sent my phone through the washer. And the guy said, well, you know, bring it in. Let me take a look. Brought it in, did the dry out, opened it up, cleaned out some of the connections, and it worked again. So every once in a while, they come back from the dead. But really, you want to do as quick as possible.
Thanks, Elizabeth. That's tech reporter Elizabeth Weiss from USA Today. It is 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Weekend, small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
Thank you with us. Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin has made it tougher to become an honorary Kentucky colonel. Might make sense, since his predecessor, Steve Beshear, commissioned more than 100,000 in his 2 terms in office, including Walmart employees, elected officials. Even actor Bryan Cranston is one. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Tengel in Chicago. Andrew, what's this about?
It's sort of a mystery to the outside of how people become them. And we thought it could be an interesting such a feature article. We call an A-head for the front page. And so we sought a database from the state government because we knew that the governor of Kentucky, Matt Bevin, when he took office, wanted to add some rigor to the process of commissioning colonels because, you know, for many, many years, long before I was even given a commission, I had heard that it was very easy to become a kernel. So we asked for the database of who was becoming a kernel under this new, more restrictive process, what they did, how they performed charity work and so forth, who recommended them, and tried to tell the story of this 200-year-old or so institution.
Wow. Are you a Kentucky Fried Chicken kernel?
That's not the entire title. It's a Kentucky kernel.
But
Colonel Sanders, Harlan Sanders, the founder of KFC, was himself a kernel and dressed the part and went by that name and is now, of course, the famous emblem for the global empire that has become KFC.
Yeah. So when you walk into a bar or restaurant, do you announce yourself as Colonel Andrew Tangle and we need a free round on the house?
That's a good idea. That's a very good idea. I should try that. There was talk at one point of Colonel's not paying more than 25 cents for a mint julep.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure that was in the story. It was in an older article that was referenced in the story, but that doesn't sound like a bad idea either.
Wow. Well, so when did this whole thing start?
Basically, after the War of 1812, the Kentucky militia came back, and one of the commanders was appointed to the governor's staff, Governor Isaac Shelby, and took the title of colonel. And since then, it sort of morphed into an honorary position that is, as the current governor has said, the highest honor that the governor of Kentucky can award someone. And it became a philanthropic endeavor with an official government dimension. The governor commissions them, and then I believe since the 20s or 30s, the names of those commissioned have been contacted by a nonprofit called the Honorable Order of Kentucky Colonels. Mm. And they got involved with the aftermath, helping people in the aftermath of the Great Flood.
Thanks, Andrew. Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Tangle, or should we say Colonel Andrew Tangle. By the way, the Honorable Order of Kentucky Colonels doles out grants across the state. Last year, it spent about $1.5 million on projects such as new air conditioners at a halfway house, food for needy school children, and an elevator at a school in Appalachia. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Weekend. Thanks for being with us. When Hurricane Matthew hit Florida last year, a lone driver became a meme for driving toward the storm while practically everyone else in the state was evacuating in the opposite direction. Kirstie Penn-Viros contacted the Daily Dot this week to say she didn't know she was a meme until this week, almost a year after the evacuation. While she shared a picture of her car, the only one on the highway going east, while bumper-to-bumper traffic clogged the westbound lanes, it's impossible to completely verify her claim since the license plate in the picture is not visible, nor is she behind the wheel. Turns out, though, she's a soldier in the Florida Army National Guard, was living in Ocean Springs, Mississippi at the time, and was activated for hurricane relief that morning and had to report to Crystal River, Florida by the end of the day. That's a 7-hour drive, according to Google Maps, a distance of nearly 500 miles. Ms. Viros, she says, drove up to 95 miles an hour due to lack of eastbound traffic, says she was the only person eastbound for nearly 200 miles. That'll do it for this hour. I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Weekend. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.